Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, if you would, today. And I'll just tell you, I didn't sleep very good, didn't sleep very much last night, but somewhere in the wrestlings, I feel that the Lord has laid some thoughts on my heart today to communicate to you with His help. And I need your prayers today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told you Thursday morning that I have been drawn to the word life and living in my preparations for this meeting. And I thought that we would this morning be talking about the ultimate life, everlasting life, eternal life, heaven. And then it changed. I want to talk to you about life, but from a different perspective. Let's stand and read together familiar scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 37. Certainly, you Bible students and lovers of the Word, in thinking about messages on life, probably would have put this portion of Scripture on your list of lessons about life. Amen. And certainly one of the exciting chapters of the Bible. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says here, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'll stop reading there. And let's pray that God will speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your presence here today already. We have rejoiced at your presence, O Lord. And we thank you for that joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And now, God, we pray that in this last morning service of our convention, that you would speak to us once again, that you would challenge us and change us and call us again, Lord. We'll give you the praise for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I wasn't certain what I would title this until this morning. I just felt like the Lord dropped this little title in my mind today. So I'm just going to preach to you about living words in a dead world. Amen. I love the book of Ezekiel. In fact, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Ezekiel is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I'm a youth camp preacher, and I preach a lot of illustrated sermons. And Ezekiel preached a lot of illustrated sermons. Amen. He did. Amen. To illustrate his points, he would do drastic things like go out and lay on his side in the middle of the street to get people's attention concerning the word of the Lord. Sometimes he preached with a frying pan in front of his face, walking around with that frying pan. I read of another sermon he preached where he cut his hair. He threw part of his hair to the wind, and part of his hair, and he stuck down in a pocket in his vest, and he used it as a message concerning the people being scattered to the wind. But he said the Lord's going to preserve a remnant. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In this chapter, we didn't read it, but later on in this chapter, he gets two sticks. The Lord says, take the sticks. And I like that because the Lord inspired these illustrated sermons. Amen. We're often misunderstood with our overly dramatic illustrated sermons, but Ezekiel used a tactic nonetheless. Amen. Because God said, take one stick and write the name of Judah and Israel on it. Take another stick and write the name of Joseph and Ephraim on it. And then put those two sticks together and make them one stick and hold it up before the people and tell them, God's going to bring you back together. Amen. I love Ezekiel. Not just for his illustrated sermons, but his dramatic spiritual experiences. This man received revelations and visions that were so awesome. And the clarity and the enormity of what he saw is just incredible to me. This is the man that saw the vision of the wheel in the middle of the wheel. This is the man that saw the vision of the glory departing and the various phases of that departure. Preachers, let me tell you, that will preach. And then study it out and see how Ezekiel saw first the glory of God came up above the threshold of the house, then above the house, then over on a mountain, and then finally disappeared. The gentle, gradual departure of the presence of the Lord. We can't allow that to happen, friends. We need the glory of God, and we need Him ever present right here. Amen. He's the one that gives us the vision of the river coming out of the house. And He goes wading in those waters. How many times have we preached that? Stepping out ankle deep and thigh deep and then to the waist. Amen. That's from the book of Ezekiel. And then the battle of Armageddon is revealed in this book. And this valley of the dry bones. I know you've preached on this. You've heard it preached. You've read it many times. So this is nothing new to you today. But I feel like the Lord wants to challenge us today of the power of living words in a dead world. Here's the situation. Amen. It is a hopeless situation as far as the vision that Ezekiel has. God takes him down to a valley, an open valley. The Bible says He set Ezekiel in the midst of that valley, which was full of dry bones. Amen. And the Bible says He caused me to pass by them round about, which means God just nudged him to go for a walk in that valley. And everywhere he looked, there was dry bones. There had been skeletons everywhere, skulls and broken bones. Over there, there's a leg bone. Over there, there's a hand. Over there, there's a skull. And the Bible says here that there was very many of them. Amen. Which shows us the size of the problem, the enormity of the problem. It is immense. He says there is very many. Amen. It's overwhelming as far as he can see. At least this is the feeling that I get in that valley in every direction, to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Scattered all through that valley. Very many. Very many. It is an immense problem. And then it is an intense problem. Because it's not just the size of the problem, but it's the depth of the problem. It's not just the size of the destruction, it's the depth of the decay. He says, behold, they were very dry. Very dry. Very dry. Amen. This is not a new problem, it's an old problem. This is a problem, amen, that has so devastated and decayed the people of Israel that he sees them not just as scattered, but he sees them as decayed and very dry. This is a hopeless situation. In fact, God gives the interpretation down in verse number 11. And if you have your Bibles open, you might want to just look there and refresh your memory. He says, Ezekiel says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. Our hope is lost. Amen. We are cut off from our parts. Our hope is lost. Amen. This is a hopeless situation. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Now, there are various opinions about this the historical setting of this prophecy. Amen. We know that there were more than one dispersions of the Jews. They have fallen prey to their enemies on several occasions. They've been taken in captivity and come back on several occasions. And this may have happened immediately after Ezekiel's day, or he may be looking into the long future, way off. Amen. Way off into the future and seeing a horrible event that happened to the Israelites. Amen. In recent history to us. You read it in the history books under the title, The Holocaust. And it may be that he saw, amen, into the future when Germany, under the direction of that demon-possessed man by the name of Hitler and others who aligned themselves with him, and attacked the Israelite people who were, in fact, dispersed among the nations. They were in Poland. They were in Germany. They were in Russia, all over Europe. Scattered, there they were, but that is not enough. Hitler brings them to the gas chambers. The horrible pictures that you'll see in the encyclopedias of the multitudes of Jews committing the crime of being a Jew. Amen. Suffering because of those that were prejudiced and hateful towards the Jews. Sent them to the gas chambers. Their bodies loaded up into wheelbarrows, pushed by other Jews who would eventually die, and dumped into mass graves. The stacks of bodies like cordwood. You can see their pictures. If you study the Holocaust, the stacks of bodies stacked up like cordwood, waiting to be pushed off by a bulldozer into a deep, dark grave. Others that were sent, amen, to the fiery furnace. Their bodies burned up, burned into ashes, and swept up like dust. It was a horrible thing. And the best numbers that anybody can come up with is at least 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. It's a horrible thing. Amen. If that's what Ezekiel saw, amen, and God asking him, can these bones live again? No wonder he was overwhelmed to the point where he didn't know how to answer except to say, Thou knowest, O Lord, Thou knowest. Amen. It was a hopeless situation. But let me tell you, today we are reading about a nation that is a fertile nation, a growing nation. Amen. They recently discovered oil off their own coast and is becoming one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Amen. We have witnessed in our generation God bringing the nation of Israel back together again. It is a miracle. They came up literally out of the ashes, or I should say figuratively, out of the ashes. They have returned to their homeland, and God is bringing them back together. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's a miracle that Israel exists as a nation today. Amen. Praise God. He walks among the bones, and he sees a hopeless situation. And then God gives him a probing question. We move from the valley to the voice. Now, God speaking directly to Ezekiel, the prophet, the preacher. And God says to Ezekiel, or asks Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Amen. The voice of God speaking to Ezekiel to cause Ezekiel to look around, amen, to contemplate and then to consider the possibility, at least the possibility, that in the midst of this valley of dry bones that there just might be a revival. It doesn't look like it can happen. Amen. It looks impossible. It looks hopeless. But God asked him so that he would get emotionally involved in it. He will look around and he will wonder and contemplate, is there the possibility then that these bones can live? He doesn't think that they can. He doesn't know how they can. He has to put it ultimately in God's hands. Y'all with me? Amen. But God is asking him, can these bones live again. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, as you look at the situations in your own life, when you think about the condition of our country, when you think about the condition of your neighborhood, when you think about the condition of your family, amen. Some of you may be going through church trouble right now. And I want to ask you, when you think about the condition of your church right now, can these bones live again? Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest. Praise God. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. That He spoke to Ezekiel. But we need to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us in Martinsville, Virginia today. Can these bones live again? And then the Almighty God says to the prophet Ezekiel, amen. He says, prophesy unto these bones, Ezekiel. Amen. Preach to them and say, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen, Brother Bartine. Amen. Standing in the graveyard, standing in, amen, the boneyard. God says, preach, Ezekiel, preach. Prophesy and say, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. There's death and decay all around, destruction all around. Amen. It's immense. It's intense. We don't see any way out of this. We don't see any hope of recovery. But God says, I want you to introduce into this valley of death some living words. I want you to proclaim in the name of the living God that Brother Gene told us about a few minutes ago. Declare in the name of the living God. Amen. Listen, you bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Preach, Ezekiel, preach. Preach to those dry bones. Amen. We know, amen, we know that there is death all around about us. Brother Randy Webb has told us several times this week, amen, in two very serious and solemn messages, and one, amen, really challenging and encouraging message. He told us of the effects of sin. He told us of the effects of worldliness. He warned us of a roaring lion that's seeking whom he may devour. Amen. We know that it's real, friends. We know we have seen them walk out that door and be devoured by this lion. We have seen the monster, amen, claim many of them, pull them apart and scatter their bones all over. Amen. We know that it's true. And it shakes us to think about it. And we need to hear about it, because death is the result of sin. Amen. Death is the result of sin. Amen. There was sin all around us, and there is death all around us. Amen. Praise God. The Bible describes the condition of fallen men as death in multiple places in the Bible. We know that in Adam, death passed upon all men. We know that by Adam, amen, death has come on all men. We have died in the sin of Adam in the garden. Death is a result of sin. But ye are dead in your trespasses and sins. Listen, I'm not going to re-preach what I've already said earlier in this meeting, but I do believe that when we are living in sin, there's a part of us that is not truly alive. Amen. I believe in the triunity of man, that we are body, soul, and spirit. Amen. And without the Savior, the spirit of a man cannot comprehend God, cannot respond to God. We don't know God. Amen. We are not truly living. There's a part of us that's not alive. We may be walking, moving, and dwelling in this earth, sitting at a table and enjoying a meal. But we don't know what real life is until we get born again. And the living God comes into our life and gives us life. Amen. Before that, a man or a woman may be smiling and giving up an appearance of life. But according to God's word, they are not alive. They are dead. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. Friends, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, can I recommend that you try Jesus? Come to Jesus and see if you don't find what real life is about. He opens your consciousness. He opens your senses. He makes you aware of things that you never were aware of. He makes you understand that life does not just doesn't consist in the abundance of things that we possess. It's not about how much money you have in the bank, how many cars you have in the garage, how many toys you have to play with. Come on now. Amen. Life is not about things. Amen. We begin to understand that life doesn't end at the graveyard. There's another life. There's an eternal life. I'd like to know, amen, that you're going to that good life, that heavenly life, that everlasting life. Not everlasting death, amen, not long death away from God, but you can have real life, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Preach, Ezekiel, preach, and preach among the dead. Preach among the bones. Preach among the hopeless, and tell them, amen, oh, hallelujah, praise God. Tell them this. Amen. God says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I will lay sinews upon you. That's muscles. And I'll bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live. Praise God. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. And so Ezekiel took the message out there. Do you see him? Do you see him? Amen. He accidentally kicks a couple of those leg bones, and they rattle. Amen. You deer hunters hear that sound when you rattle those antlers together. Amen. Making some noise out there in the woods, hoping to call up the, amen, a trophy. Amen. You hear that sound this morning. That's the sound Ezekiel heard as he stumbled over some of those broken bones, the clatter and the clang. Amen. Little puffs of dust coming up from the ashes of those very dry bones. But he does what the Lord says, and he goes out there and he stands in the middle of that valley. Amen. And he begins to preach to those bones. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know the story, don't you? You know what happens. Amen. All of a sudden, amen, something begins to stir the bones. They begin to move. Amen. Like invisible magnets, they begin to be attracted one to another. Amen. The leg bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the toe bone. Hey, I don't know how that old song goes. Amen. But you know what happened. Brother Eddie, the bones started coming together. Amen. This one comes to this one. Their form, their shape. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. God said, I will bring them back together. Amen. I'm going to bring them back together. Right now, everything looks scattered and senseless, but I'm going to bring them back together. I feel like the Lord wants me to say to you, He's going to bring it back together. He's going to bring it back together. It looks like it's scattered. It looks like it's all tore up. It looks like it's all broken. But He's going to bring it back together. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You say, amen, I don't see how. Amen. It's not for you to figure out how. It's for you to declare the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bones, you're going to live. Bones, you're going to come together. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I prophesied, he said. So I preached. Amen. And as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. Amen. What a shocking amazement it must have been for Ezekiel in his clouded vision to begin to see. Amen. The Lord putting muscle on those bones and covering it with skin and flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. I said it's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But God begins to bring it back together and give it strength, give it cohesion, amen, and then give it breath. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I wish you could feel this like I felt it early this morning. Amen. All I can do is preach. Amen. All I can do is proclaim it. But I'm going to tell you that I believe that God wants us to be aware of the power of living words in a dead world. Amen. We have a message. We have a word from the living God. It's important what we believe. It's important what we say. Let me pause just a second. Let me just tell you. I'm not preaching, amen, this positive thinking, this name it, claim it stuff. I don't believe in that blab and grab it. Amen. I'm telling you that in spite of the abuses, amen, of it, the reality is that sometimes it requires faith in the children of God to be able to, amen, to properly deal with the enormity of the situations of our life. Amen. We've got to go by what God says and do what He tells us to do. Amen. If that's how you interpret blab it and grab it, amen, then I guess that's what it is. I'm telling you that this is a dead world and they need a living word, and we have it. And we have it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Prophesy to the wind. Oh, wind. Oh, wind, come, amen, from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Come, oh, Holy Ghost, blow upon these bones. Would you come, oh, Spirit of God, amen, and breathe upon us again. Would you bring us up, oh, Lord, and revive us in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, Lord, would you revive us. Hallelujah. And the wind came. And the wind came, praise God, and breath came into them. Praise the Lord. It was a miracle. Amen. It was a miracle. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A daunting task, but it was an assignment from God. I'm going to tell you three things that I felt like the Lord spoke to my spirit. Amen. And they're simple, and I'm just about done, really. Amen. I just want to tell you that I believe that God wants me to tell every one of you preachers, keep preaching. Amen. Keep preaching. Amen. What you're doing is important. It is significant. Amen. Keep preaching. Don't quit preaching. Amen. I know that the temptation is to give up and quit. We don't see all the results immediately, and we get frustrated. It would be easy to just pack it in, amen, and say, what's the use? But you keep preaching, because God said to keep preaching. But Brother Blue, I don't see any results. It just looks like death and bones to me, amen. But He said, prophesy, O son of man, and keep on a preaching, even in the midst of the death. Praise God. Amen. As these elder saints stood a while ago, as Brother Prescott requested, I was blessed and encouraged. Amen. I just told Brother Eddie Peach before service this morning, before we started, I just said, Brother Peach, yesterday when I was preaching on Lively, I wish I would have thought to have just got you up there and I could have just pointed at you and said, Lively. Hello? He's 72 years old. Singing, playing, praying, amen, encouraging, helping, getting in. I'm telling you, that's what Lively is. That's what Lively does. Praise God. Amen. But I got to tell you, sometimes it makes me feel a little ashamed to think, amen, that these that have stuck it out through the years, amen, I get around people like, Brother Wendell Pittman, who was here earlier in the meeting. How old is he? In his 80s, isn't he? Amen. 82, soon to be 83, I think he told me, and still preaching, still traveling, still working for the Lord. Brother Eddie, it makes me ashamed to think of the numbers of times that I almost gave up. I almost quit. I didn't think I could make it. Amen. I thought I couldn't do it anymore. Amen. I don't mean to deflate your balloon, and I don't want to be so transparent that you lose respect, but I need to be transparent to the point that if there's somebody in this building that has battled what I have battled, you might be encouraged to press on, brother. You can't quit preaching. You can't stop it. Amen. You've got a commission from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. My recent battle was less than 5 years ago. We pastored in South Carolina. Before that, I said recently, but it was over 5 years ago that we resigned the church there. We moved back up to the Midwest. I thought it was a good move. I believed God was in it. Amen. But I began to spiral out of control. There was a battle that we got in mentally. Amen. I started recapping my life and thinking about all the places I had been, and I was grateful for that. Amen. Praise God. We've been a lot of places in the last 38 years together. Amen. Preaching youth camps and doing children's crusades and missions trips and revivals and camp meetings and anything that we can do. But I got up there in Illinois. I'm no longer pastoring. Amen. Nobody knew that I was available for revivals. And in that solitary time, Brother Webb, amen, I started thinking those thoughts like, well, maybe it's over. Maybe I'm done. Maybe I'm all used up. Maybe, you know, and I'm only in my 50s. Amen. That's why I'm saying, when I see men like Wendell Pittman and Tommy Tolliver and Don Rich, and they're still out there plowing the fields and doing the work, it makes me a little bit ashamed. Amen. But I was tempted to just cave into it and give up under the load. Amen. Feel like I was drained and empty and couldn't go on anymore. What's the use anyways? I pastored 5 churches, and I can't point to a lot of success in it. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Praise God. Let me just tell you this. In this respect, do as I say, not as I do. Amen. I believe that success comes from longevity in ministry. When you stick it out and you stay with it, you put your roots down deep, I believe that eventually it breeds better and deeper success. Amen. But having said that, I had a unique ministry, and God I'm weird. That's what it is. And I just did things differently. And God moved me in different places. Amen. We pastored 5 churches in 5 different states. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I don't recommend this. But some of those churches that we pastored were not solid holiness churches. I thought we could help them. I believe God sent me to them. Amen. But I know this. Amen. It has its challenges. Amen. It has its risks. And in some ways, it impacted my family negatively. But I was trying to do what I felt like it was God's will for me to do. Amen. Oh, God, help me this morning. Amen. I'm just going to tell you that you get a little weary in the journey in those 5 pastorates. That meant we packed our family up and moved them all of those times. Load everything up. Amen. Get into a new situation, a new surrounding. Amen. If you're a preacher and you move from time to time, whether it's your choice or their choice, you know what I mean? Hello? Amen. It's not an easy thing to move your family from place to place. It's a traumatic thing, really, to be pulled up by your roots and replanted somewhere else. It takes its toll on you. It makes you very tired after a few years of that. Amen. The temptation will be to say, I don't want to move again. Amen. The temptation will be to say, I'm too tired. What's the use? Where's the results? Amen. Why don't I just quit? Amen. People misunderstand you. They don't know what you're doing. Amen. A 50-year-old man still doing illustrated sermons. It doesn't make sense. Come on now. But we got to do what the Lord tells us to do. All I know is if God says to go and stand in the valley of dry bones and preach, then we better preach, brother. Amen. I'm glad to report to you that the Spirit of the living God came upon me again. He brought me up out of my valley. He brought me up out of my discouragement. I'm not telling you I backslid or got out and done some bad thing. I'm telling you I got discouraged. That's what I'm saying. But the word of the Lord came unto me as Jonah came unto me the second time. Amen. The Spirit of God come upon me and let me know. Amen. Preaching's important. What we do is important. The results are with God. We got to put it in His hands. Brother Barty, amen, one man sows, another man waters, but it's God that gives the increase. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reading George Morrison the other day about the Lord's Prayer and saw something by His help that I'd never seen before, the process that God uses to accomplish certain things. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And how many thank God for the bread that you had today? Amen. As Christians, we bow our head at every meal and say thanks to God for our daily bread. Amen. But we don't stop to think of the process that brings the bread to our table. God's able to rain bread from heaven. We know that He can do that. But on our everyday routine, we know that the process behind it was a man somewhere plowed a field and he planted the grain. A man somewhere harvested that grain and sent it off to a mill, and the miller ground the grain. Come on now. He made it into flour and packed it up and sent it to the baker, and the baker made it into bread, put it on a truck and delivered it to the grocery store where we went and bought it and then put it on our table and said, thank you for our daily bread. Amen. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm the baker, amen, the farmer, the miller, or where I fit in the process, but I know this. My desire is at the end of the day, somebody gets bread. Amen. I just want to be part of the process. I want to be part of the process that somebody will get fed. Somebody will get bread. Amen. Preachers, it's all of us working together. Amen. Plowing the fields and planting the grain. Amen. Harvesting and baking. Let's do our part for God. It matters. It's going to be on somebody's table after a while. Hallelujah. Praise God. The second thing I felt like the Lord said to me was, amen, keep believing. Keep believing. Praise the Lord. Can these bones live again? I don't know. Listen, amen. The quick answer would be to look around and say, nope. Amen. The middle answer is, I don't know. Amen. I don't know. But at least there's a ray of hope in there somewhere. Possibility, I don't know how, but amen. But when God says, step out there and start preaching, now it becomes an act of faith. Amen. All right. Here I go. Listen up, you bones! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep believing. Amen. Some of you have some hopeless situations. I don't know all of the details of it, but I feel in my spirit this morning that some of you, amen, have family problems, children backslidden, grandchildren messed up, amen, maybe even a broken home, a broken marriage, things that look like they're completely out of control. The temptation is to just look around and say, nope. That's not going to happen. Amen. But I'm telling you that God wants you to keep believing. He wants you to keep believing. Amen. To believe in the power of the living Word in a dead world. Amen. Praise God. We got to keep believing, my friend. We can't give up. We can't quit. And the third thing is simply this. God is not through. Amen. God is not through. Praise the Lord. We haven't seen the end result of it yet, but we can be assured of this. It ain't over yet. It's not done yet. Amen. Praise God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He still has the final word. Amen. Let the world, fight against us. But when it's all said and done, He wins. Praise God. I said, He wins. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Amen. We see a miraculous revival here. Victory comes even in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Let me tell you this. Amen. I believe victory is coming to your situation. Victory is coming to your family, your personal problems. Amen. I can tell you, your church may look dead and dry today, but I believe the God of revival is still alive. He still exists. He's still in control. And He's not done. Amen. He's not through. He's still working. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to believe for the possibility of revival. We need to believe for the potential of revival. We need to keep, amen, speaking a living word in a dying, dead world. Praise God. Amen. Speak it. Preach it. Talk about it. Tell it. Amen. Jesus is life. Jesus is life. Jesus is life. Amen. And He kept telling Ezekiel, you heard me emphasize it in my reading. Amen. And they shall live. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Can they? Can they? Amen. Can these bones live? God says, they shall live. Oh, hallelujah. Can I at least get a hold of the possibility of that? The potential of that? Amen. That they possibly can? Amen. It's not going to end like this. It's not going to end like the devil's telling you it's going to end. God's not through. Amen. And furthermore, God's not through with you. God's not through with you, sir. Amen. God's not through with you, ma'am. He's not done. Amen. He's not done with you. Praise God. He's still working. Let's let Him work. Stand with me this morning. Let's praise the Lord.